WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And 508-996-0500 is the number to call in and chime in. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good, Irene. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. I'm calling up to let people know that Heavy Green will be back in New Bedford on Saturday. It's, of course, it's March, so it's Women's Month, so Hetty will talk out to anybody, but women especially, can start to save money because she was very, very frugal. And then how to invest. Her advice for anybody who'd like to come on over and visit us, and, of course, all programs at the National Park is they're always free. So 1 o'clock on Saturday, New Bedford Whaling National Park on 33 William Street. Everybody is welcome. It will be nice to see you. Hetty's been kind of busy elsewhere this year, so we haven't seen her at the usual long strip of programs. But she will be here this Saturday and again in April, and we'll see where we go from there.
Well, in addition to seeing Hetty Green, too, I've got a chance to go over there to the National Park recently and take a look around for the first time. What an amazing facility that really is.
Yes, and we have good programs. We're almost 30 years old now. We've had time to settle. Except I've been a volunteer since we started. In fact, we're about a half a dozen of us been volunteers for almost 30 years now, which that by itself is amazing, but we love it there.
Well, again, give everybody the time at 1 o'clock this Saturday?
This Saturday, yes.
And that's at the New Bedford Whaling National Historic Park. It's right down there on William Street. Beautiful facility, and it'll be a great time getting to meet and talk to New Bedford's own Hetty Green.
And we hope we see everybody. That's great. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Irene. Tell Hetty we all said hello.
See you again.
All right. And if you've never seen that performance, that's Irene. She actually performs as Hetty Green and just becomes her. And people have raved about those performances. So check that out this Saturday if you've got the time. And I don't think maybe I will make the time this Saturday. What do I get going on? I don't think I have anything. But in a couple of weeks on Saturday, on April 5th, it's going to be our Hunger Heroes food drop. We're going to be doing it again at Aldi at Dartmouth Mall. And we're going to be down there from 10 to 12. We're going to be taking your donations, and we'll have a story up on the website soon with all the details of what you can bring and what we're looking for. But this is the one where we collect a lot of things that are good for kids during April vacation. And we always have a great turnout. People come down and donate a lot of food. That'll be on April 5th from 10 to 12 at the Aldi in Dartmouth. I'll be down there. I know Jason from the station will probably be down there. Michael Rock from Fun 107 is going to be there. And we'll see who else we can get to come on down. And I don't think I'm speaking out of school here to say that Ken Pittman may be back on the air by that time. So Ken reached out to me and said he's planning on coming back on the 26th. So if all works out, and he'll update you on everything that's been going on when he comes back. And Paul Santos has been doing a fantastic job filling in. And we said, you know what? We want some more of that. So we're going to be shuffling around the Saturday schedule coming up in April. Brian would like to be on later on in the day because he's up late at night now with Freedom Fools and everything else that he does, which you can catch on WBSM weeknights at 6 p.m. on podcast if you don't get to listen live. So what's going to happen is we're going to shift Brian to the 1 to 4 p.m. time when we're running Best of Howie right now. That'll become Brian's beat. And then from 7 to 9 in the morning, the Paul Santo Show. And not the Paul Santo Show that you're used to from TV and from the internet. This is going to be live call-in radio with Paul every week. So that's the plan. If it all works out, which it should, we should have it ready to go in early April. There's just some behind-the-scenes things we got to do when we launch a new show with creating the podcasts and all the technical side of things to make it all work. But we should have that all together. And then that's just going to give you even more local talk on a Saturday. Very exciting. Probably nobody more excited about it than Brian Thomas because he can actually sleep in on a Saturday. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. And not to steal Brian's thunder. I know Brian likes to tell you each day what the national day is. Because I think, you know, like me, he thinks that it's kind of silly how we have a day for everything. But he does point them out. Today is, not only is it National Sloppy Joe Day, so, you know, have a man, which I guess now we have to be politically correct, so have a people, which, it's not me with Soylent Green, but today is also National Awkward Moments Day. And because it's National Awkward Moments Day, I'm going to ask you, what is the most awkward moment that stands out in your mind? What is the moment where you did something and you're like, I can't believe it, and you still dwell on it to this day? I can't believe I did that. What has been the most awkward moment of your life? You know, I would have to do a hard think on that because I've had a lot of them. And it would be hard to remember which one was probably the most awkward of all. And sometimes it's just a little insignificant one that ends up, you know, haunting your dreams forever. I had one when I was younger. I was probably about 6, 7, 8, around that age. We were at my grandmother's house. My aunt and uncle were there as well with my cousins. And I don't know what I was doing, but I had like a toy or something that was broken and I needed super glue to fix it. And nobody had any super glue. And nobody really wanted to go to the store to get any super glue to fix my toy. You know, my parents were like, well, we'll get it tomorrow. And my uncle was leaving. He was going to leave my aunt at my grandmother's house. And he was going to meet up with his friends at a bar room called Matt's. Matt's Villa in Holbrook, I think. And so he was going to go there and meet up with his friends, and they were, you know, I guess they were picking him up or something, and my aunt would drive home. Or, no, I think he was just going there and then coming back. So when he was leaving, he's like, all right, I'm going to Matt's. Does anybody need anything when I come back? And I was like, yeah, can you bring me back some super glue? And my aunt was like, Timmy, because they used to call me Timmy, Matt's is a bar room. And I was like, I felt like I shrunk in size, and I was like, I know, but he could stop at a store on the way back and get super glue. Like, I just felt so small in that moment. Like, how would I ever think that was possible? And that's the moment of embarrassment that sticks out in my mind for some reason. And I'm sure I've been much more embarrassed in time since then. I've been much more awkward in time since then. But that one just always plays back in my mind sometimes. You know, you still have dreams about it. Of course I know it's a bar room. I just shouldn't have said anything. Anyway, 508-996. And my, you know, I brought that up to my aunt one day. She's like, what are you talking? I don't even remember that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. I just want you to know there's two things that super glue is really good for. One is, while you're holding the two parts together that you've glued, it really sticks to your fingers good and gets that stuck to the item that you're trying to glue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The other thing, what it is good for, and people do use it, in the winter they get these cold weather cracks in your fingers. And that the actual, the only thing that really stops the pain right away is people do use, and the military actually recommend it, is super glue in those cracks, and it stops that pain immediately.
I actually used it. I cut my finger one time, and I used it on, because I was using a razor blade, and I cut my finger, and I just put some super glue on it to kind of hold it together.
Actually, they use it for that as well. It does work pretty good. It stops, closes up a cut pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so it's quite an amazing thing. As far as gluing pieces together that you want to try to fix, it really doesn't seem to work that good.
Right.
All the time.
It will definitely attach you to whatever, like you said, whatever you're working on forever. Yeah. Like you can never, yeah. Like you're just, it's part of you now.
It is. So it does work. What it does work good is the gel super glue actually works a little bit better. It kind of forms around the item that you're trying to glue, and it does help it out quite a bit. But the regular super glue, the viscosity is so thin, it just seeps into anything that's porous more than actually to something that you're trying to repair. But
yeah, I started using the glue stick version, like the like you would use in school, like a glue stick. That seems to do the trick without me getting stuck to it.
Oh, really? I haven't tried that one yet. I haven't tried.
I recommend.
I'm gonna take a note on that one and see what happens. All right.
All right.
Take care, man.
Have a good day. And let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. I was enjoying your story as a youth, how you were embarrassed. Isn't that funny how when we're young like that, we think that little project was so important that everyone else would think it was so important. But I got a funny story about being embarrassed. My dad introduced me to a friend of his, and I shook his hand, and I guess I put my head down when I shook his hand. And then my dad said to me, after you grab me, says, anytime you shake hands with a man, you look him right in the eye. And at that moment, I did feel small myself. And as I grew up, I remember if I shook anyone's hand, to just look them right in the eye. And it's worked for me. But I just recently used super glue, and I did stick two fingers together. It was a little painful taking them apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I once had my hand stuck to my leg. Like, stuck to
That's
my pant leg.
One.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to get it off. I just poured a little hot water on it and separated. But still, it was, you have that moment of panic when you get stuck. Like, how do I get this off? How do I get this off? And then it's not that hard, but.
Great story. This is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was an adult when I did that. have a good day. All right. Yeah, no, I was an adult when I did that. I was, that was back when I worked at the diner. And my big concern was that if my hand was going to be stuck to my pants, it was stuck to my stupid cook pants that I hated wearing, and I didn't want to have to wear the rest of the day. But we got it off. We just took some very warm water from the coffee machine, almost burning, and poured that on between my hand and the pants, and I was able to pull my hand away. But then you get all that super glue-like stuff on your hand that peels like a sunburn. And you got to sit there and pick it all off. Oh, it's the worst. Or what I did is I took steel wool, because we had steel wool for washing the pots and pans, and just went over my hand with it, which is probably worse, but at least I didn't have it stuck to me. 508-996-0500. Hold on here. Let me put this call on hold, and we'll go to this one. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, I have a really embarrassing moment. I almost hate to admit to this. It burns in my mind to this day. I was a teenager, probably about 15, 16 years old. I lived in Illinois at the time, about 30 minutes outside of Chicago. And in a hot summer day, we didn't really live by the water exactly, like 30 minutes away from Lake Michigan and all. But I was wearing a bikini at the time with a shirt over it. Like in the 70s, gauze was really in. It was like an embroidered gauze shirt over this. And this bikini was very embellished, like it had these golden medallion metal coins in the front, like with chains, and it had a zipper in the back of the pants. They were like hot pants. And as I'm walking with my girlfriend, Crystal, we're walking all over town, actually. I don't know. We just decided to take a walk. And everybody was in their bathing suits back then. If you were young and you were barefoot, well, I kept hearing this person whistling. And you didn't see the person, but you heard them whistling. I'm thinking, I wonder what's going on. And we walked through the whole entire town. We got to the baseball field. We sat down on the bench, which had slats of wood, so there was air in between. I sat down. I said, wow, it seems kind of breezy down there. I get up. I start walking. And Crystal starts laughing at me. She goes, Laura, your zipper's down and on your backside of your bathing suit. It's all open. So I've been walking around town like that with my butt showing to everybody, everywhere I went. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to crawl into a hole and die.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where the embarrassment was probably huge at the moment, but then when you look back at it, you say, well, it wasn't that bad, right?
Oh, I know. I know. And it just, I couldn't believe that because I've never done that before. All the years, you know, all the time I ever wore that bathing suit, I never did that. In that one time, it had to be where I was all over town, walking everywhere. Everybody could see me. But, I'll never forget that as long as I live. And that was probably around 1974, 75, something like that.
Well, I think, I think by now, you know, you can let some of that embarrassment subside a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You've suffered enough, Laura.
Oh, I know. I just laugh at it. But that was pretty bad.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You as well. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Hello.
Okay, I got to tell you this one. This probably happened to other people, too. You go shopping, right? And you put a bag on the roof of the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tim, years ago, you know, whatever we bought was like in glass jars.
Sure.
You know, if you bought pickles or you bought tomato sauce or something, you know, it was in glass. So I get in the car. I drove off. The bag fell off the car. And you know, two or three of the glass bottles I had in the bag, they all busted up. I had to come back and clean the street, you know, with the glass and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I never did that again. Never did I put a bag on top of the hood of the car. And then I don't know, sometimes you're not thinking. And like I say, I drove off, the bag fell. What a mess there that was.
See, I never had that problem. I always remembered to put the groceries in the car. Even when I would go out shopping with my son and he was a little baby, and I would leave him on the roof of the car and drive away, but the groceries were all fine. So,
but you know, today, Tim, it's different because most of your things are in plastic, you know,
right.
The jars and all that. So you wouldn't have a mess like I have.
Don't be so sure, because when those plastic jugs fall off the roof of the car and hit the pavement, they still can explode. What happens
is that's true too.
What happens is instead of breaking, or sometimes they'll crack, but what will also happen is the pressure will fire off the lid, and then everything just comes pouring out of it.
Oh, another question. I think you mentioned, you have a son. Does he live in Riverside, Rhode Island?
He does not, no.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
Nope. Why? Is somebody pretending to be my kid in Riverside, Rhode Island?
No. I don't know if you... one time you were telling me your boy went to Volk. I think your son is a plumber, right? Does he do...
No. Nope.
I must be thinking of somebody else then.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I am, yeah. Okay, Tim.
All right. You have a good
day. Thank you so much. Yeah, you too.
And I got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have the news. We can take some more of your awkward moments in just a few moments. All right, we will take more of your calls coming up. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
President Trump plans on releasing the JFK files today. Contention over congestion pricing. And what's your favorite way to listen to music?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The White House says, quote, absolutely not, in response to a French politician suggesting the U.S. return the Statue of Liberty. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt took shots at Raphael Glucksmann, a member of France's parliament, during a briefing. She called him a, quote, low-level politician and said, France should be very grateful to the United States. Glucksman made the comment at a convention of protest of federal firings of scientific researchers and Americans siding with, quote, tyrants. President Trump says the files related to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy will be released today. Speaking while touring the Kennedy Center, Trump said around 80,000 pages will be released.
I've instructed my people that are responsible, lots of different people, put together by Tulsi Gabbard.
The president said a lot of Americans have been asking for this for a long time. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is postponing his book tour after backlash within his own party. Lisa Taylor has the details.
A spokesperson for his tour said it would be rescheduled over security concerns. Schumer was scheduled to visit Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York City to promote his new book, Antisemitism in America, A Warning. I'm Lisa Taylor.
New York's congestion pricing battle, putting President Trump against Governor Kathy Hochul, is far from over. Trump's transportation department has ordered the governor to turn off the tolling gantries by Friday.
As I repeated in the Oval Office on Friday, the cameras are not going off. It is working. It was a state decision. We had the proper federal approvals for this.
Trump had vowed to eliminate congestion pricing on day one of taking office. Friday will be day 57. An appeals court is denying President Trump's attempt to refire federal workers who were reinstated, Brian Shook reports.
A judge had ordered the White House to reinstate fired probationary employees at six federal agencies, and this decision will support that ruling despite the Trump administration's request to freeze it. I'm Brian Shook.
Wholesale egg prices are coming down. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is reporting the national average wholesale price of a dozen eggs dropped $2.70 last week, landing at $4.15. That marks 3 weeks of declining prices, according to the USDA. Another hot beverage payout. Some may remember in 1992, a woman in Texas spilled a cup of McDonald's coffee in her lap and suffered third-degree burns. She was awarded nearly $3 million. And now Starbucks has been ordered to pay up in another hot beverage incident.
This latest hot beverage scalding happened in Los Angeles at a Starbucks. A delivery driver says he was scalded and suffered permanent disfigurement to his lap area when a tray of hot teas he bought at the drive-thru collapsed in his lap. Michael Garcia sued, saying he suffered permanent catastrophic harm. His attorney says store surveillance showed the employee failed to properly secure the drink in the cardboard carrier. It then fell directly into Garcia's lap. An L.A. jury awarded him $50 million. Starbucks says they're going to appeal. I'm Bree Tennis.
Most Americans think that streaming is the best way to listen to music. A new survey found that most Americans believe streaming music is superior than all other forms of music combined. The poll of 2,000 U.S. adults found 38% say streaming services like Apple Music and Spotify are their favorite, where 13% believe CDs are best, followed by 12% into vinyl, and still 1% enjoy the old cassette. Flip me over to side B.
WBSM Sports.
The Sabres beat the Bees in overtime last night, 3-2. Celtics host the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7:30. March Madness also begins this week. Sports betting and media brand Action Network predicts the NCAA tournament could cause the U.S. economy to see roughly $20 billion in lost productivity, from simply being distracted while on the clock to 40% of survey respondents admitting to calling in sick to watch a game.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clouds today, 52, partly cloudy tonight, 37, mostly sunny tomorrow, 57, clouds and showers on Thursday and Friday, 50, both days. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
just can't wait now. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. So just going back to what Mike was reporting on there at the beginning of the news, he mentioned yesterday's White House press conference and Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt responding to the suggestion that the Statue of Liberty should be returned to France. And her, we're talking about awkward moments, right? You know those awkward moments that you have where, like, you almost expect there to be the ding, want to get away, those Southwest commercials, or maybe like you say something and then you would expect the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to start. And that was kind of one of those moments yesterday, but I don't think Caroline Leavitt has the shame or the self-awareness to realize just how horrible some of the things she says is. And she said, it's only because of the United States of America that the French aren't speaking German right now. Well, it's only because of France that the United States isn't part of Canada right now, as opposed to trying to reverse that and make, you know, the other way around. If it wasn't for France, we wouldn't be a country. Because France loaned us the money, sent us their navy, played a large role in the diplomacy. Now, of course, it was for their own purposes. They wanted to weaken Great Britain. But most scholars agree, France played a huge role in helping the United States defeat England and become its own country. And yes, the United States certainly helped in World War II, but a lot of scholars say that if it wasn't for the United States, see, the United States didn't enter World War II because of Europe. They entered because Japan attacked us. And then you get wrapped up in the overall conflict. But a lot of scholars believe that the Allies would have defeated the Nazis even without the United States' help. But even so, that's just a horrible thing to say to the country that helped your country be born. But I think awkward is something that's going to come out of a lot of those press conferences for the next 1,400 days. I think that there's probably more awkward moments that live in our head forever that are huge deals to us that nobody else remembers. That, you know, to us, it's the most embarrassing thing we've ever gone through. We've never been more ashamed of ourselves, but in other people's minds, it was just a funny thing that happened and they never really dwelt on it again. But there were a lot of moments that make me awkward. If somebody's crying in front of me, I really can't do much for them. It'll be okay. You're fine. When my son was little and he would start to cry because he was, you know, in pain or whatever, or I don't even know, you know, whatever reason babies cry, hungry, pooped himself, whatever it might have been, I would always say to him, like, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to take it all away. And then when I take it, you're not going to feel it anymore and you'll be fine. And I would just, like, pretend like I grabbed it and he would stop crying. Because I was like, I'm a compassionate person from a ideological standpoint. I can't really show it. I get very awkward. Like, hugging people is weird for me. You know, I'm one of those people that will repeat what somebody else says. Like when the cashier says, have a good day. I'm like, yeah, have a good day. Well, wait, why do they say the same thing? Like, I have all those little moments of awkwardness. I'm not like Tim Robinson level awkward. But I have awkward moments all the time. And so I've just realized, like, nobody cares. Nobody remembers. It's not like that cashier went home and said, oh my God, you're not going to believe it. This guy today, I said, have a good day. And he said the exact same thing that I did. Have a good day. Or like when the server drops off your meal and says, enjoy your food, and you say, you too. Like, they just laugh for a second and walk away. They're not going to the back and be like, that's this idiot over at table four. I put his food in front of him, told him to enjoy his food. He told me, me too, but I'm not eating anything. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let's see if we can make it awkward here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, you're talking about embarrassing moments.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was trying to construct some yard sale signs out in my garage. And, you know, I bought some of the yard sale signs at the old Benny's, which no longer exists anymore. And I was constructing them with a wood back and all this stuff. And then I needed my hammer. And I know I had taken the hammer off the pegboard. So I'm walking around the garage looking for my hammer. I went into the tool shed. Couldn't find the hammer. Then after all of that, I look down, and I'm carrying the hammer in my left hand. That's like 5 minutes of my life I'll never get back again, you know?
Can't tell you how many times I've been looking for my keys when they were right there in my hand the whole time.
Yeah, it's a funny feeling. You say to yourself, how could I have walked around with this thing in my hand looking for it all that time, and there it is. Nobody was out there with me. It would have been more embarrassing if my father had been out there and said, it's in your left hand, dummy.
Right. Hey, can you help me find the hammer? You mean the one you're holding?
Yeah. It went through my head, how could I do this? I mean, this is ridiculous, you know? That's it, Tim.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, have a good one.
You as well. So it is, National Awkward Moment Day? Yeah, so if you've got one to share, you can. 508-996-0500. So I got a message from Grammy who says, good morning, Tim. I only heard the end of your announcement. Sorry, but did I hear correctly that there will be a local talk and new programs on the weekends? April 6th. Thank you. So not on Sundays. Sundays we're going to keep the same schedule that we have, although we're working on some other things for Sundays. I'm putting a show together. Hopefully we can launch in the next couple of months that will be a fun thing to listen to on Sundays, but it won't be live. And starting in April, not exactly sure the date yet, because we got to work some things out from a technical side and also just make sure all the hosts are ready. But when Ken comes back in a couple of weeks, Ken thinks he's going to be ready to return on March 26th. And I'll let him explain to you why he's been out. I really can't talk about somebody else's situation, but he's just been physically unable to come in due to some injuries. And I'll let him explain that to you, but he thinks he's going to be ready to come back on the 26th. And because Paul's been doing such a great job, we want to keep him in the mix as well. So we're going to, and Brian's wanted to move to the afternoons on Saturdays for a long time because he's up late at night doing the other things that he does. So we're going to work it all out. We're going to have Paul Santos from 7 to 9. The Ken Pittman Show from 9 to noon, Money Matters with Jose Matos at noon, and then Brian's Beat from 1 to 4. So once we get all this going, hopefully the beginning of April, but once we get it all going, you know, it won't be the Best of Howie anymore on Saturday afternoons. It'll be live and local with Brian Thomas, and you'll be able to call in every day. And Brian will be happier because he doesn't have to get up early on Saturday. So that is the plan. Sorry, caller. I just went to go put you on hold. If you want to call back, I'll do that. But right now, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And I asked the question because it is National Awkward Moments Day. And as much as I don't really like to pay attention to the national day calendar, this might be a chance to get a little therapy and, you know, get it off your chest. That awkward moment that just lives rent-free in your head forever. The one that you just, you know, your mind dwells back on when you're laying in bed at night trying to fall asleep. And it's the thing that pops into your brain and makes it so you can't go to bed. As silly as it may be, but maybe talking about it helps. Certainly, you know, coming on the radio and talking every day for 3 hours, there's going to be a lot of awkward moments with that. But, you know, that's water off a duck's back for me. I don't worry about it. It's more the interpersonal things with people. Those awkward moments that make me more concerned or that kind of stick in my mind a little bit more. Jack says, only awkward for delusional never Trumpers like you. Actually, there's also a thing called secondhand embarrassment where, you know, you're not the person that's going through an embarrassing moment, but you're embarrassed for them. It's why a lot of people can't watch a show like Curb Your Enthusiasm because they feel that secondhand embarrassment, that secondhand cringe. And that's what I feel for people like Jack. Somebody who felt the need this morning while we're having a conversation that's kind of lighthearted and about, you know, these moments that everybody has in life, the thing that kind of should unite us and bring us all together. And Jack is such a delusional person that he has to open up his WBSM app and take the time to type out a message as stupid as that. So I feel so much secondhand embarrassment for you that you are so obsessed with this ridiculous love for Donald Trump that anytime I say something bad about him, you've immediately got to run to your WBSM app and I got to tell that Weisberg guy off. Yeah, you definitely made me feel bad. I'm gonna spend the rest of my day dwelling on what some random person sent me an app chat message of on the WBSM app. I feel secondhand embarrassment for you. And I hope that you can get some help with your unhealthy obsession. There's only 1,400 days left of Donald Trump. You're going to have to find something else to be obsessed with afterwards. Maybe you can take that fandom and find a sports team to root for. You know, instead of wearing a stupid MAGA hat every day, you can wear like a Red Sox hat. Maybe instead of standing out on a street corner waving a Trump flag, you can stand out on a street corner and wave a Red Sox flag or a Patriots flag or something. You know, put that fandom to actual good use. Anyway, if you have an embarrassing moment, an awkward moment that happened to you that you want to share, we've got a few minutes left in the program. 508-996-0500. We've all gone through them. Thankfully, there's never been any that have followed me around. You know, like, I never got up on stage and picked my nose while I was on stage and had video of it for people to be able to see later. That was my sister. That was her dance recital when she was a kid. We still got the tape somewhere. So if, next time she has a big birthday party or something, maybe I'll get that transferred to digital. We could watch it again. My most publicly embarrassing moment was probably the first time I was ever on television. I was 10 years old and I went on a show called, or I was 11 years old. I went on a show called Ready to Go. It used to be on weekday mornings on Channel 7 in Boston. It was a kids like news and information show to get them ready for school. And I was so excited because I got to go on there and make a wave machine like we'd learned to do in school, where you took a soda bottle and you filled it halfway with vegetable oil. Or halfway with water, and you dropped a couple food coloring drops in it, and then you filled the rest of the bottle up with vegetable oil, and you closed the lid, and then when you tilted the bottle, it made like a little wave machine. Then you could watch the waves happen. And I was so excited because I got to go on TV and show everybody how to make these. And my dad bought me all the materials the night before, and he wanted to make sure that I had enough for doing it on television. So he bought me like a big 3-gallon jug of vegetable oil, and I had like a 3-liter bottle of soda. Remember when sodas used to come in a 3-liter bottle? I had one of those. The only problem was he didn't think to get a funnel. And the mouth of the vegetable oil was a lot bigger than the mouth of the soda bottle. So as I'm trying to make this wave machine and I put the water in and I put the food color in as I'm going to pour the oil in, that's a big 3-gallon thing. That's kind of heavy for a kid. And the host of the show is just watching me. But I'm going to pour this all in, and it starts pouring all over the side of the bottle, and I'm getting oil everywhere. And that happened on live television. So some family members have a VHS of it somewhere that they haven't found yet. And when they do, we'll make sure we get it up there on YouTube for you. All right, I got to take my final break of the morning. We will be right back. And that's the music that just pops into your head every time there's an awkward moment in your life. That just pops right into your head. And every time I hear that music, I can't help but smile.